You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The National Party is looking likely to contest the Māori electorate seats at the next election, as reported by One News last night. It comes as a reversal of party policy to not contest the Māori electorate for the past since MMP was launched in 1996, and the party has since had brief policies of pushing for the abolishing the Māori electorates altogether. I spoke to the University of Auckland's politics lecturer Lara Greaves about this, and I asked, what does that mean?
I think this is generally quite a positive move. For decades and decades, Labor sort of owned the Māori seats in a way, so they consistently won the Māori seats for decades and decades, and that was not necessarily the best thing for democracy, and not the best thing for democracy in the Māori seats and moving Māori policy forward, because I think let's kind of go back to that fundamental idea that the contest of ideas is a positive thing, and effective opposition is a positive thing. We now see the Māori Party as being effective opposition to Labour in these seats, but I think having that opposition on the right is quite good in order to sort of push Labour along and to push the Māori Party along and kind of challenge the ideas that they might put forth. And this is just generally positive for democracy, because these ideas, when they're challenged, people find hold in them and things move forward. So I think that's a positive there. And I think that this also signals the fact that they might be less likely to contest the idea of the Māori electorate. So National has been quite vocal in the past, especially with Don Brash and the Orewa speech, but also subsequent leaders, that they kind of aren't supporting the Māori electorates, the whole idea behind the Māori electorates. And a lot of us working in the Māori electorate space kind of get a bit sick of this, because rather than discussing whether this is the most effective sort of way to represent Māori and for there to be treaty partnership, instead of discussing that, we end up spending all of our time sort of defending the idea of the Māori electorate existing. So I think National signalling that they're going to run, it's going to be more hypocritical in the future if they then turn around and try to get rid of the seats.
Right, but do you think Reckon National has a chance of those seats while Labour has had a hold of them for so long?
I think they have pretty much zero chance of winning one of the Māori electorates. I think one of the reasons that I would, if I were National, would run candidates in those seats is to contest the party vote. And we've seen this, you know, over the last sort of 25, 30 years of MMP elections, that there will be candidates running in seats, the primary purpose of which is to get out the party vote. And I think that just these National candidates running in those Māori electorates, and say turning up to a Māori electorate debate, gives more Māori voters exposure to National Party ideas. And, you know, some people might be undecided voters sitting there going, oh, actually National sounds reasonable, and then they become a National Party voter rather than specifically for the candidate. I think that would be, if I was National, that would be my strategy.
Considering the National caucus now has only very few Māori MPs, does it need to be... Do they have to change their strategy on better representation?
Well, yeah, at the moment they've got two Māori MPs, Dr. Shane Rete, their deputy leader, and their former leader, Simon Bridges. And, you know, we kind of joke, oh, well, National's got more guys called Chris in their caucus than Māori. And that is a really serious concern. Study after study has shown that, like, the more diversity around a decision-making table, whether it be a business table or sort of like the cabinet table, the kind of better quality decisions that they ultimately make. And fundamentally what's going to happen in, say, like 6 years' time maybe, or maybe three, maybe six, maybe nine, at some point National's going to be the government. And that decision-making table is going to look a lot less diverse than, or a lot less representative than what the current cabinet table looks like. And I think that's going to be quite an interesting cultural and identity-based conversation that pops up at the time. Generally, I think that National did have some great sort of candidates on their list, some sort of young Māori up-and-comers, but they were so far down the list that they didn't get in. I think that this kind of step towards having running candidates in the Māori electorates does show that they're going to nominate, you know, at least sort of seven Māori across these electorates, because conventionally people who run in the Māori electorates and Māori ethnicity. So that's something that we can see as a step forward. I guess it's all going to depend on how far up the list that they put these Māori candidates and the extent to which they value sort of these more representative, more diverse voices coming through in future elections.
But going back to the Labour Party, do you think their influence in the Māori electorates is slipping now they've lost Wairiki in the last election, and some of the current Māori MPs have returned in a reduced majority, and they've been shunned by Ratana this year?
I think that Māori and the Labour Party, and the Labour Party more generally, have some real challenges in terms of Māori policy issues and those Māori electorates going forward. It's looking like, in terms of the Māori Party, they're kind of thinking that they could win like 4 or 5 Māori electorates in the next election, and that's actually quite possible, because if we look at the last election result, there was, people were calling it like a red wash, an overwhelming red tide, like, you know, this landslide victory, and using all of this dramatic language, because Labour did, you know, we never thought we would see a majority government like this, and that's what Labour pulled off. So, but the Māori electorates kind of were a little bit against that, and just with that overwhelming huge amount of support for Labour in this last election, we can kind of expect that to drop generally in the next election, and I think at that point a lot of those electorates will be sort of vulnerable to being won by the Māori Party. And I think that, if we think of political parties as kind of motivated to win votes, if we go back to sort of the theory of the existence of political parties, I think that that could be quite a motivating factor to move forward on Māori political issues. On the other hand, you see that Labour will try to hold their sort of reputation as being a centrist party and hold some of that centre vote. And so that's some quite challenging interests to balance going forward, especially given that, from all possible indications at this point, it looks like the Māori Party in its current form would be more likely to go into coalition with a left-wing government than a right-wing government, that they wouldn't make that mistake again. So it kind of looks to me like, from a strategic kind of slightly evil point of view, that if you lose a lot of those Māori voters on the left to try to hold on to those centrist voters, those Māori voters on the left are only going to head towards the Greens or towards the Māori Party. So from that, again, evil kind of political strategy point of view, like, I think a lot of us would hope, generally, that Labour starts to, you know, use some of their mandate to forward treaty interests and equity policy and Māori policy. But strategically, again, from that idea that they're this, you know, political party and political parties are self-motivated and evil, you can see arguments for why they wouldn't do that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.